All right, tonight, Omaha, Minnesota, in Sioux Falls. There should be a great crowd. A lot of Omaha fans, a lot of Gopher fans, as the quest to get to St. Paul begins. And we welcome in our good friend, who is one of the best in the business, knows college hockey better than anybody else. We think he should be on the Reveal show. We think he should be on all the time. Dave Starman joins us now, who you heard on CBS Sports Network at the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. Good morning, my friend. Happy beginning of the Road to St. Paul Day.
Hey, guys, it's great to be back on with you, and it is awesome to be talking about the Mavs and the tournament, and I was so impressed with the support that they got in St. Paul on their initial trip there. They're a fun team, and it's a fun fan base. I am thrilled for you guys and what you're about to experience.
Dave, watching the games over the weekend in St. Paul at the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, I can always tell you're a savant of the game, and you pick things out. But I can always tell when there is something about a team that I don't even want to say surprises you, but really impresses you. You talked a lot about some of the little things of Omaha and the way that they were kind of find some weak spots in a very talented North Dakota defense. What when you see Omaha winning at this level, what stands out about their game right now?
Omaha's got a beautiful simplicity to the way that they attack the game. And I think for them, it really works. Now, they're a good team. I think that they have been so mislabeled nationally. Like, the easiest thing to say is, here comes Omaha, they're big, yeah, they're heavy, yep, yada, yada, yada. It's a nice, easy thing to say. But the reality is, when you watch Omaha, they are faster. They're more skilled than people give them credit for. They get north pretty quick. Their goaltending's tremendous. I mean, that is a huge part of why they're really good. But in reference to what you're alluding to that I brought up on the broadcast over the weekend, I find Omaha to be really, really good at finding soft ice. And what I mean by that is, in the offensive zone, they work really well below the goal line when they attack the puck. But whoever's their third forward high, whoever is the defenseman on the weak side of the ice that's creeping in and looking for space, they're really, really good at detecting where teams leave pockets of open ice and their ability to get into them, feed it, and get chances to the net. And me, it's a reason why they have had offensive success against some good teams.
Hey, well, before we get a little bit deeper into what you think will happen tonight between Omaha and Minnesota, is it safe to say, as I look at the field of 16, Dave, that in a sport that has sometimes been dominated by what we would maybe call the Blue Bloods, we have finally achieved, as we look at the NCHC, the Big Ten, Hockey East having one seeds, we finally have achieved some really nice parity for the sport?
We have, and if you look at the past, I think I did this graphic the other day just because I got bored. I was looking at the last, like, 10 national champions, and I think they averaged, like, 6 or 7 NHL picks on their roster per national champion. Not necessarily all first-rounders, but that's been about the average. But there were a couple that only had, like, 2 or 3. And I think what you're seeing now is there is a core group of NCAA teams that are really, really good because of the fact that they don't put players on the roster that are huge flight risks to leave after a year or two. So you're getting teams like Omaha where you've got some seniors and you've got some of those fifth-year guys. They're older, they're smarter, they've got a little more savvy to them, they've got more patience and poise to them so they can handle the ups and downs of a long season and the adversity that goes through it. And that's why teams like the Mavs can be consistently good. It's why Minnesota Duluth was always good, with the exception that 1 year where they had the five defensemen who were all world. But now you're starting to see the Blue Bloods come back, but we're getting to that point once again where you got a lot of one and duns and two and duns. I'm not sure that's necessarily great for the long term product of college hockey, but it certainly makes for some exciting teams, which you're gonna see in Boston College, which you're gonna see a little bit in Denver as we move through this thing. But like half of BC's team could leave at the end of the year.
Well, and that's the interesting thing about the other matchup, the earlier matchup in Sioux Falls, is given the age, the average age of RIT's roster compared to Boston University, and in a one-game scenario, and you know it better than any of us, Dave, three periods to that really is what your season comes down to, regardless of what it is you've built it up to. In this moment of the season, how much, in your opinion, is that age matter and that experience that you've had together with one another?
I'm going to give you a funny line to start this. At the 2001 National Masters Level Symposium, I was there as a student getting my USA Hockey Masters, and Guy Gadowski from Penn State was with me at that symposium. We were in a discussion about talent versus character.
Oh.
And Gadowski, who was in Alaska at the time, said, listen, I got all the character in the world. I could use a little talent. And I've always thought about that. Okay? And I've always thought about that going to the national tournament, pursuant to your question, and that is, RIT's got some talent. They've got a lot of those older guys you just referenced that have high character, that, like Omaha that we just talked about, that can handle some of the ups and downs of these things. There's an old saying in hockey, and Red Gendry was the one who gave it to me, the team that gets off the bus with the best players generally wins. But I also think that in a situation like RIT and BU, and I think BU is very questionable in goal, RIT gets a couple early,
yep.
and then they can impose their will on this game, and they can set the pace of this game. As long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they're as ripe to pull off an upset as anybody.
Dave Starman joining us here on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. How much do you think, I mean, we all flash back to last year in the amazing final in overtime where Quinnipiac, boom, they beat Minnesota. Bob Motzko has had a hear about that all offseason. As he's had a manager's roster with some guys leaving, he's got a really good goaltender. I think the matchup between the pipes tonight is really, really good. But how much do you think of the motivation of what happened in overtime last year in the national championship? Oh, by the way, the Frozen Four is across I-94 in St. Paul. Has done for Minnesota and what it does when they begin this tournament?
I would tell you that knowing Bob as well as I do, that guy's got a bartender's memory. I guarantee he hasn't thought about that game with the exception of like the day after. And maybe some of the players have. But between Bob and Steve Miller, I mean, they've got an elite level coaching staff. Ben Gordon's there too. I would think that playing at home for a national title probably has them a little bit more motivated than the revenge factor of last year. Minnesota's got a good team. They did lose some of their high-end guys. They're still really good in goal. And I agree with you that my opinion is unless Augustine and Fowler wind up running into each other in a BC-Michigan State game, this might be the best goaltending matchup of the tournament in Omaha and Minnesota. I think that Minnesota's game is one that Omaha can handle. I'm not saying that Omaha's going to beat them. I'm not saying Minnesota's going to beat them. But I think that of the teams that Omaha has had success against, Minnesota is that type of team where they can grind, where they can pin in, where they can take away lanes, where they can possess the puck a bit, and their goaltender can cover up some mistakes. Omaha also having a big, long defense. They really do a good job, as David Noel Bernier likes to describe, as closing the front door. Like, they make you come to the net through their layers and their lanes, mm-hmm. and when you get there, you generally don't see daylight. So I think for Omaha, they are built and structured in a way to play teams like Minnesota if they're playing on top of their game.
And that's interesting, Dave, because we've seen it. We just saw it on Saturday night, but we also saw it, and Gary and I were pretty critical of what we saw the last time that Omaha and Denver played in Omaha. And after that series, things really kind of turned around for the Maverick hockey team this season. What is it about Denver's style and Omaha's style that seem to really favor the Pioneers, other than the obvious of what they have with talent?
I will tell you this. You probably just nailed it in its purest simplicity. Denver has got so many weapons. There's a couple things that they do really well. Number one is their ability to cut laterally to gain time and space with speed is really impressive. Like, they got a lot of high-end guys that are really, really good at doing some upper-level things to get themselves in a good scoring spot. So they get a lot of grade-A chances. They've got six guys on their team up front that can all score on first shots from within the top of the circles. And Latkosi is a smaller goalie. So they did a pretty good job at picking up on the top of the net when Latkosi would go down early. So I give them a lot of credit for that. And part two for Denver, that's got Sean Behrens, who is the top defensive defenseman in the NCHC. He's the top defensive defenseman. A, he can defend pretty well. B, he's got the puck all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, he's defending with the puck. That's one of the reasons he's so good. So Denver creates so many matchup issues because, A, they're really deep, and, B, they got four defensemen who can play like forwards.
Hey, so Boston College has been the number one team for most of the year, and they are explosive. They don't have a lot of experience playing in the NCAA tournament, but they could have the Hobie Baker winner. People get to see Will Smith, Gauthier as well. They're great in net with Jacob Fowler. Is there anybody that can knock off Boston College to win the championship this year? Or if there is, who would be some of the candidates in your mind, Dave?
It's a good question, and here's where Boston College is going to be very unique. And they're kind of like Denver. Like, them and Denver are really, really young. Where BC could stub its toe is in its inexperience. But the other part of it is this. They've got a core of guys. They've got, I think, seven guys that all played on the World Junior Team that all came through the National Team Development Program. So they've all played in the Under-18 World Championships a couple of times. They've all played in the World Junior Championship gold medal game and won it. And now they get to the Frozen Four, where you can make a case that they'll see some teams that may not be as offensively dynamic as the teams that they beat en route to winning a gold medal at the World Junior Championships. So I think for BC, despite their youth, they've got a lot of big game under the bright lights experience. I'm not quite sure who can pick them off style-wise because I haven't seen everybody. But I will tell you that between Fowler and goal and the offensive firepower that they have and their ability, like Denver's, to find goals anywhere on the ice, they're going to be a really tough out. They're also extremely, extremely well-coached.
Hey, one quick thing before we get you out of here, because people, there'll be a lot of Omaha fans there tonight. They're going to watch the first game. How does Celebrini from BU, who is just a freshman, I mean, I just ran off a guy who I think from BC might win the Hobie Baker. He didn't even win Hockey East Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. How good is this freshman at BU?
He's scary. Like, he is so much fun to watch. The thing that makes him so good, he's got a great combination of speed and skill, but he can use that skill at top speed. Like, when you're an elite player, that has got to be an ingredient of you can do all these amazing things, but you can do them in fifth gear. And he's got that ability to do it. He's got an NHL release. He reads ice well. He takes his ice well. But the most important thing for him is whether he's moving a puck, getting into space for a puck, getting it and delivering to the net, not dusting it off, whatever the case is. He does everything really, really well at top speed, under pressure, and that's why he's a legitimate threat every time he touches the ice.
Hey, this is going to be a great road to St. Paul. It was so great to hear you a lot on Omaha Games this year on the CBS Sports Network, and of course, for Omaha to make it to St. Paul. We always appreciate it, Dave. Enjoy the next 4 days of hockey.
Absolutely. You guys too, and hopefully we get a chance to see the map. If you turn to St. Paul, that would be a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. That would be. Thanks, Dave.
You got it. See you guys.
Yep. BU is the number one seed. They take on RIT, who is the four seed. They play at four today. Macklin Celebrini is who I'm talking about. He's 17 years old.
17, 31 goals already? Correct? Yeah. I know there was some comparisons to, if you're making more of a recent comparison in the college game, that a guy that just stood out, and Adam Fantilli, who played for Michigan, that there was a lot of comparisons to the way that he's able to move on the ice and just create as a goal scorer. But I mean, it's kind of crazy. 17 years old is dominant in that league, in that conference as well. There's some stars in it too, and that's why it's kind of cool to see the way that you got this grizzled Omaha team where you could say maybe Jack Randall's their dude, but the way Zach Erdahl's playing lately, a lot of praise on what Tanner Ledke as a true freshman is starting to do as well. There's just different ways that they can hit you. This is where you do get style and system versus maybe just overall talent. Interesting thought though about Minnesota's overall game and their style and how that sort of complements what Omaha does really well. We'll see if that plays out tonight.
I'll say Lacozzi against Close. That'll be how it's be decided tonight. Yep. All right, Brian Edwards to wrap the show coming next.